Here the Turtle is presented by Toyota. Toyota helps you get the most out of your drive. Just ask a friend who drives one. Shop buyatoyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals, to find the Toyota that's right for you. Toyota, let's go places.
Len Elmore will be at center, 6'9", senior from Springfield Gardens, New York. He's their all-time champion rebounder, averaging 14.8 this year.
I said choosing Maryland was the best decision I ever made. And I still believe to this day it contributed to a lot of the success that I've had.
He's rejected by Lewis.
Lewis can block a few of them. He's blocked 41 this year.
Well, listen, he set a record last year with 99 shots that he blocked, 10 in one game alone.
Jones out of the corner. David with a reputation as a shooter.
And I still now, 16 years later, you know, I still get that. You know, Mike Jones type of thing, and it brings back a lot of good memories.
Ravis Vasquez, the player of the year in the ACC. Yes, and a foul.
Maryland is in my DNA for sure. Like, I represent and breathe, and I love it. When you love something and you're passionate about something, everything else is much easier.
You're listening to Hear the Turtle. Your hosts are Taylor Swythe and Keith Snedden.
It's Monday, September 28th, 2020. It's Hear the Turtle presented by Toyota. And Keith, it's the second edition of our Maryland Record Breaker series presented by Chesapeake Employers Insurance. And this week we have the all-time Maryland rebound king, one of the great student athletes in Maryland history, Len Elmore, a man that was an incredible basketball player, an incredible student, an incredible ambassador to the university, and has done so much in his life. But we focus on the sheer amount of boards that dude was taking down, because there wasn't many better in the rebounding category in college basketball when he was in the game.
As Kawhi Leonard would say, board man gets paid. Len Elmore definitely is the champion board man at Maryland. The craziest thing about his career rebounds record, 1,053. The next closest guy is Lonnie Baxter with 998. He did it in three seasons.
Yep.
In an era where you couldn't play varsity as a freshman. I mean, geez, now, like, you know, he would have been one of the top recruits coming out of high school. He would have been, you know, probably plugged in and started as a freshman in today's game. But the fact that he was able to do that in three seasons, and it's still – has not been touched to this day. It honestly might be one of those records that's never broken at Maryland.
I think we get into that a little bit with him, because you look at it, and if you're that good of a rebounder, like we've seen over the past few years, Stick Smith, Bruno Fernando, like if you're a guy that's getting a lot of double-doubles, you're going to the league.
That's
like
right.
You're not staying in college for all 4 years. You could theoretically see the scoring record broken by someone like an Anthony Cowan, or even if Melo Trimble had stayed for his senior year, he breaks the scoring record. And that's a little bit different, because at the guard position, you might not be an NBA prospect, but still be a great college scorer. We've seen that a million times. It's also true from a rebounding perspective, but the big guys you're bringing in today's game that really can get after it, and we saw Sticks do it this last season, like, he's a guy that's an NBA prospect and is probably not going to stay for 4 years. I can't really even think of a guy this decade that would have challenged if they'd stayed for and actually had the opportunity to stay for. Like, even like an Alex Len, like, that guy was not staying 4 years. And as you said, though, for him to do that in 3 years, the record would be even more insane if he'd been able to play as a freshman. So one of the most interesting parts for me about talking to Len was just now the amount of perspective he has generation to generation of Maryland basketball. He's now pretty much seen it all. We're seeing most of the relevant players that we now talk about Maryland basketball-wise. Obviously, there were standouts before him and the Tom McMillan era and John Lucas and all those guys, but they feel like sort of almost the starting place now when we talk about Maryland basketball, at least when we talk about the legacy of it and social media and things like that. Those guys are kind of the elder statesmen. And for him to then kind of look back at the rest of the years following him was really interesting and put a ton of perspective on, I think, a lot of this series, not just his specific part in it. He gives you a lot of perspective on all of the different things and the era of college basketball that he played in.
No doubt about it. And, you know, again, I had mentioned in our previous podcast, a guy that I didn't get to watch play growing up, but what was pretty cool is you can go on YouTube now and find a lot of these old games and old clips. You know, the 1973 ACC championship game against NC State is now just on YouTube available to watch. So I just had, you know, a good time just turning that thing on and just watching the game and getting to see him in action, you know, because it's just something I couldn't do, you know, live in person when he was playing back in.
Yeah, absolutely. Incredibly talented teams he played on, and teams that had had things broken right when they were there. Those might have been your first teams that won Maryland basketball national championship and not 2002. Unfortunately, those teams didn't get to a Final Four or get the chance to get to play for a title, but an incredible amount of talent on the teams that Len Elmore played on. They just unfortunately never had the ultimate team success that maybe they could have had. But obviously, Len Elmore had a ton of individual success, and we talk about all of that in this interview. And we also discuss sort of how Maryland made him as a man and propelled him into his future career. So let's get into our second Maryland Record Breakers interview with Len Elmore.
For more than 100 years, Chesapeake Employers Insurance has been helping Maryland businesses keep their workers safe. With competitive pricing and an AM Best A-minus financial strength rating, it's no surprise that Chesapeake Employers is Maryland's largest writer of workers' comp insurance.
At the end of every workday, someone's waiting for your safe return.
Connect with your agent or visit CEIWC.com.
We're back here on Hear the Turtle with the Maryland legend, Len Elmore. And Len, we're going through your Maryland records today, and I'm not even going to try to remember all of them, so I'm just going to read them off to you, and you can give me your thoughts as you're laughing here. You're the only Maryland player in history with 1,000 points and 1,000 rebounds, which you did in three seasons. You're the Maryland career rebound leader, the career rebounding average leader, the single-season rebounds leader, the single-season rebounding average leader. You led the Terps in single-game rebounds with 26 against Wake Forest in 1974, and you have at least six games with 20-plus rebounds. When you hear all of those records, and none of those have been broken since you were at Maryland in the mid-70s, what sort of comes to mind for you?
I'm kind of a forgotten guy when it comes to that. I mean, you know, back when I played, rebounding was important, but, you know, it wasn't valued as much as it is today, but by the same token, it just doesn't seem that, you know, rebounders get as much credit as we probably need to. When you recognize the numbers, even analytics guys will tell you how important it is to gain possession, and that's what rebounding is all about. You know, I take it with a grain of salt, I take it in stride. I mean, the guys who scored all the points, and not to say that I didn't score a lot, but you know, guys who score all the points, you know, they get the glamour, but people who really know the game start to appreciate what I was able to add.
Which of those are you most proud of?
I think probably the single season as well as the average, single season average as well. My senior year, you know, averaged over 14 points, almost 15 rebounds a game. The 14 points are important because, remember, I played behind McMillan and Lucas, the two guys who, you know, took most of the shots. I was like the third option, and a lot of my points came from me going to get it, offensive rebounds, putbacks, things like that. So, you know, that's, to me, the real test of a rebounder, and it stands to this day, is who can offensive rebound. You know, defensive rebounds are tough to get, but offensive rebounds, that's the real work. And, you know, I'm proud to have been able to excel there. Now, you know, you got guys, one of my teammates, Buck Williams, we played together with New Jersey Nets. Buck was a heck of a rebounder as well. Did really well in the pros. There are a couple of other guys, but, you know, I think they get probably more credit than I do because of what they did in the NBA and not really focused on, you know, what was done in college basketball. But, you know, we all have our crosses to bear, and as I said, I take it in stride when I don't get the recognition from a lot of people. Sometimes it hurts when there are people who know the game and are associated with Maryland kind of skip over me, but that's okay too.
And Len, looking back at an era where there was no shot clock, I think the common thought might be, you know, possessions were longer, there's less shots, so there's less opportunities for rebounds to ever happen. You know, there's lower scoring games, whatever it may be. You know, was that the case? Because clearly with the amount of rebounds that you had, there had to be a ton of shots being taken.
Yeah, I mean, pace was not necessarily a problem. In some cases where teams were overmatched and they wanted to slow the game down, you would certainly find that the pace was slow, the number of possessions were diminished. But just remember, my senior year, and for the 3 years that I played at Maryland, you know, we pushed the ball up the floor a lot. My senior year, I think we averaged over 80 points a game. There was no three-point shot, and there was no shot clock. So therefore, you know, the pace was extraordinary. We liked it that way because we had the advantage. We could rebound, we could run, and we could shoot.
When you look back at the records now, and obviously the game has evolved so much, as we've sort of touched on already, what do you think of those records as the most unbreakable?
I believe that career rebounds seem to be most unbreakable simply because, one, guys who are capable of that, most of them aren't sticking around more than 10 years, you know, something along those lines. But even so, you know, I look at the rate of rebounding. We've had some terrific big men play in Maryland, and, you know, I look at the rate of rebounds over the course of their careers, and many of them still would not have made it even over a three-year period. So, you know, I think that's really the one, career rebounds. You know, somebody's going to get over 1,000 rebounds, you know, they really have to focus and be that guy in the middle that's able to, you know, command the board on both ends.
We'll be right back to our Maryland basketball record breakers interview. But first, a word from our sponsor, Chesapeake Employers Insurance. Chesapeake Employers Insurance is a proud partner of University of Maryland Athletics. For more than 100 years, Chesapeake has been helping Maryland businesses keep their workers safe. With competitive pricing and an AM Best A- financial strength rating, it's no surprise that Chesapeake Employers is Maryland's largest writer of workers' comp insurance. Connect with your agent or visit CEIWC.com. That's CEIWC.com.
You touched on it a little bit there, Len, but that senior season, you had 412 rebounds, 14.7 a game, just dominant for the Terps. What do you attribute to the success that, you know, your success that season? You know, what was it like for you personally?
Well, I think maturation. My junior year, I was injured. I still had a problem with my knee. I broke a bone in my foot and played several games, including the ACC tournament semifinals with a broken bone in my right foot, as well as the NCAA tournament. But I think it's a question of maturity. I certainly knew how to do it. I had a coach in George Raveling, who was a pretty good rebounder himself when he played in college, worked with me in a number of areas. And more than anything else, I think I developed a reputation of, you know, kind of being a tough guy, planted seeds in the minds of opponents, et cetera. And, you know, my focus was to try to win and to do what I could, focus on my strength to be able to do that. And with focus comes a great deal of success. And I think that that kind of made the difference.
Take us back, if you can, February 27th, 1974, 26 rebounds, a single game record for the Terps against Wake Forest. What are your recollections of that game, and how the heck do you get 26 rebounds in a game? That's tough in any era.
I'm not totally sure about that. I mean, I know that, you know, we were a pretty good defensive team in those days. One of the things that hurts me a lot is the fact that the block shot was not an official category, because with all due respect to Derek Lewis and others, I think I probably would have been shot blocking leader of Maryland even to this day. I was the first real shot blocker in the ACC. To be honest, they had never seen anyone. Tree Rollins came a little bit later and kind of perfected it. But in that particular game, I think we were just playing outstanding defense, you know, blocking shots, being able to, you know, erase some of the mistakes that we might have made defensively, but you know, that intimidation forced them to miss a lot. And, you know, I obviously was in the right place at the right time. So, you know, that's about all I can remember at that particular time. But, you know, the shots had to be missed in order for me to corral them.
When you talk about that intimidation factor, I mean, when you were in a groove, when you were dominating your opponent across from you, you know, what was that mentality kind of like? Were you a talker? Were you a guy who kind of got into people, or did you just let the rebounding do the talking?
For the most part, I let the rebounding do the talking. I mean, back then it was difficult, kind of as it is now, to trash talk. Although, you know, you could, when you're in close quarters, you could say some things. You could use a little hip and shoulder to send a message. But I think the block shot more than anything told a tale. I know there's a cover of Sports Illustrated in December of 73 with Bill Walton and myself on there. People don't realize that, you know, when we played UCLA, we lost to them by one at Pauley, low scoring game. But, you know, Walton got a lot of rebounds because he stayed in the paint, never came out. I was able to knock down some jumpers and help keep us in the game. But I remember watching Bill Walton play the championship the season before, where he was, I think, 21 of 22 or 22 of 23 from the field. I watched that tape all summer, knowing that our first game was UCLA. And when we finally played them, you know, I blocked his first two shots, got called for kind of a foul on the third one. But in that game, Bill shot 8 of 24. And a lot of it had to do with that initial intimidation of blocking the shot. I don't think he ever played anyone who did that to him before. And I use that just as an illustration of, you know, what the intimidation can do. And, you know, unfortunately, we didn't win that game. Had we won that game, you know, I probably would, you know, have my name up in lights and everybody would have made some comparisons, but, you know, that's the way it goes.
Obviously a pretty incredible era of college basketball. So many great players as there were here at Maryland. Who are your favorite guys to battle with, whether it was in the ACC or nationally? You just touched on Walton there.
Yeah, well, Walton was obviously, Bill is one of them, and I think we developed a mutual respect throughout. You know, I had to go up against a Tom Burleson, who in that ACC final, you know, scored 34 points. And, you know, this is a guy who never really had success against me. And unfortunately, what I had to do, because David Thompson was killing us, what I had to do defensively was always point to where Thompson was, and he's on the opposite side of the floor. And by the time they swung the ball around, Burleson at 7'4" was in the paint, and just about everything he threw up that day went in. Not to take anything away from him, but, you know, the game we played him before, he was 3 of 19. So, you know, everybody has a day, and unfortunately for us, it happened on that day. But Burleson was one of those guys. You know, I think and Bobby Jones for North Carolina was another guy that I battled with, and, you know, we had great mutual respect on that team. We had Mitch Kupchak as well, pretty formidable front line, and a guy by the name of Donald Washington, who never turned out to be a great pro, but certainly was a heck of a player in the middle for North Carolina. You know, there were other guys, but those are the guys whose names really come to the fore as being tough guys to play against in the ACC.
Switching gears, you were able to, obviously, you've called games for so long now after your playing career is over, and you got to call a couple of the Maryland games this year, one where you interviewed Stick Smith, who had such a fantastic season after the game. What was it like for you to sort of watch another big guy in a Maryland uniform put together the type of year and game that night that Sticks did?
Oh, it was terrific. You know, always great to see, you know, Maryland players develop and have superlative games and to be able to play not only terrific from a physical standpoint, but play with a great deal of intelligence. And, you know, that's kind of what I appreciated in Jalen, the way that, you know, he developed from his freshman to sophomore year, you know, played a cerebral game as much as he did a physical game. And, you know, always good kids to talk to. And I can say kids because of the different way. But, you know, it's great. It was great to be able to stand there and interview him in such a victorious way.
Jumping back to your time at Maryland, obviously such a great career and then go to the NBA and then do all the things you've done afterward for the community and for the game of basketball. What did that initial, you know, scholarship and offer that you ended up getting and then getting your years at Maryland mean to you for the remainder of your life, not only in basketball, but outside of it?
Well, I mean, I had a poster made, and for the longest time, Maryland utilized it. I said, choosing Maryland was the best decision I ever made. And, you know, I still believe to this day it contributed to a lot of the success that I've had, not only as an athlete, but also as a person. The people I've been able to meet, the relationships I've been able to build. I mean, I met my wife at the University of Maryland. You know, those things are important. I have friendships that have lasted, you know, 50 years, beginning at Maryland and to this day. And equally as important, you know, from an academic standpoint, it kind of gave me the basis to be able to do some of the things I've been able to do professionally. So, you know, I owe a great deal to the university. Hopefully I've been able to the extent that we can, my wife and I, pay it back as well as pay it forward. But, you know, Maryland will always be a prominent factor in the success that I've had.
And then one final question here, Len. We've talked to a couple of people about this that have come on the show, and I think you have are in one of the best positions to answer this question. Having played with some of the best in Maryland history and then seen all of them after you, who would be in your top five, Maryland starting five? You're going to build one over the course of history. Who's in your five?
Well, you know, I started with the point guard. You know, no disrespect to Grievous Vasquez or some of the other guys we've had, but John Lucas would definitely be my point guard. My power forward would, you know, that's tough. Between McMillan and Buck Williams. But again, I'd have to say Tom, because Tom was able to put the ball in the basket with such a plum. Len Bias, obviously, is a small forward, probably the greatest player there. Unfortunately, he didn't stay long enough, but, you know, Joe Smith is another guy that I'd like to add to it. And you know, if, what is that, four guys, I'm going to name a fifth, I guess Juan. Juan Dixon, because of his toughness and his perseverance, you know, those are five guys that, you know, I'd play with anytime. There's more,
but
only gave me five.
A five I don't think anyone would argue with, but if you look at the rebounding numbers, Len Elmore is on top of all of them. Len, thank you so much, a Maryland legend, for giving us a little bit of your time. Enjoy the rest of the quarantine for as long as we're in here, and thanks for giving us some of your insights.
It's my pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Len.
Back here on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota, and much thanks to Len Elmore for jumping on with us. So, such interesting stuff. His all-time Maryland starting five didn't put himself on there. Gravis Vasquez put himself on there last week. Len Elmore, gracious of him not to put himself on there. I think he could have made a case for himself. We were making the case for him as we were going on.
He's just a humble guy, doesn't need to have his name up in lights, you know, as he mentioned with Bill Walton there. A great story about that game against UCLA. But, hey, that's just Len, right?
He made sure to put his guys, though, John Lucas and Tom McMillan, on there. These all-time starting fives are actually pretty interesting as we go through this series. We asked everyone that question, and it's interesting to see how everyone thought about it and who they didn't put on there and put on there. I think if me and Keith were making our all-time starting fives, Gravis Vasquez will be one of the first guys on the sheet. But for a different generation of Maryland fans, John Lucas is easily in that spot, and he's a stone cold lock. So it's such a fascinating debate to have, and we had that question asked to every one of our guests. So it's a pretty interesting. And obviously, we asked Scott Van Pelt that, and he put Andy T on the team. So it really varies on what you can do.
There's nothing like springing that question on people and just seeing the reaction go like, oh, okay, like now I gotta think about this. Like,
yeah, they don't want to forget anybody. But it's very, very interesting. And there's no wrong answer. There's no wrong answer, considering the quality of players that's on here. So thanks once again to Len Elmore for coming on with us. Once again, that series presented by our friends at Chesapeake Employers Insurance. Keith, Len Elmore, awesome as we go through here. And it's just been so fun, to talk to all of these guys. Next week, on the Record Breaker series. It's the Lewis brothers, Keith, in one of, I think, one of the most fun interviews we've done on the show, having both of them on at the same time to kind of go back and forth.
No doubt. The Block Kings. Do not drive to the lane and try and get an easy layup on the Lewis brothers because you will get swatted. Cool stories there with, you know, just Derek trying to follow along with his brother's career while he was playing in France. And like, you know, this is pre-internet days, like just trying to, you know, get a box score mailed out to him or stories, you know, of what was going on at Maryland. It shows you how far we've come with technology.
100%. And both those guys, such gracious and nice guys, and both local, both DC guys. So just more product for that In the Water documentary. Those guys are both from around that DC area, and not even talked about in some of that stuff, and two fantastic players. So great conversation with them we had. Make sure to go back and listen to our conversation with Gravis Vasquez if you haven't. It was fantastic. We can't say it enough how great Gravis was. Make sure to continue to follow our interviews with football players. We've had Brian Cobbs on. We'll continue to try to have one every week as we gear up through training camp towards the beginning of the season on October 25th. So exciting to have those guys back in action. Make sure to follow Hear the Turtle on all of our social media channels, at Hear the Turtle on Twitter, at Hear the Turtle on Instagram. Keith, we will not go into TikTok this week. That is on the back burner. So TikTok, follow us.
Right? Isn't it back? Like kind of.
TikTok is kind of back. It's kind of back. Oracle and Walmart are trying to buy it right now. But we
Oracle, that's right.
We will allow people to find that news on their own. Follow Keith Snedden at Sned311 for all of your Sneddits.
That's right.
Or all of your Sneddits. Follow Taylor Schmidt 10 for me, and we will see you next week.
Go Terps.